Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Oh, good morning. Happy Monday. I'm Greg Hahn, President, Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management, and with me in the studio, Amy Anderson, Production Coordinator. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Adam Kuhns. Adam, how are you, man?
Doing well.
You back from the works? The work release program? you met with your probation officer this weekend. Good. Excellent. So it was beautiful weather.
It really was.
So do you have some time to think about how we want to structure portfolios into the end of the year, given everything that's going on and the performance we've had so far this year?
It is all-consuming this weekend. Yeah.
It is mind-numbing. Let me set the table, and then we'll dig in a little bit on the equity side. We're going to talk specifically about some of the our focused growth strategy and some of the tech names. And spoiler alert, but one of the key events that's happened is the 10-year Treasury yield has moved up over 1.5%. Well, when rates start rising, so we've broken through one of our resistance levels, when rates start rising, tech stocks underperform. That's the kind of the heart of our focused growth strategy. So we want to kind of unpack that for listeners today. But before we do that, let's kind of prioritize where we are. So from a context standpoint, we've got an economy that is the reopening is slowing in spite of public gatherings and sporting events and restaurants opening up. It's not opening as quickly as we thought because of the COVID variant. So things like business travel, conferences are just slow. So the small business that supports those types of things like dry cleaners, restaurants, gyms, nail salons are just hurting. And that's just the reality of it. It's just not happening at the pace that we thought. That impacts from a fundamental standpoint where we go from here, because it's not the lights out type of economic growth that we thought would happen, especially in the second half of the year. In spite of that, though, the Federal Reserve has said in a statement last week that they're going to start to withdraw their stimulus. So we could see that bond purchase program, reductions in the bond purchase program begin in as early as November. And then the Fed's kind of indicating that it would be a move higher in rates off of zero in 2023, which is why we're seeing the 10-year start to really adjust. All of that with inflation running, 4%, and calling it transitory. But our belief is that following the pandemic, the supply chain disruptions, the rising raw material prices as a result of the shortages, the trade conflicts and dislocations in our economy, really all of that's collided to push push inflation higher. And we think it's 2 years. So this whole issue around transitory is but how long is transitory, right? So one final issue, and this is a really important issue, is this issue around China. In our world, China is very, very an important factor, and it's a conundrum because it's not linked to the financials, the global financial system. It's the second largest economy in the world, one of the largest, obviously the largest population, it's been a growing market for our companies to sell goods and services into. That's if they let us. And so what's happened over this year and accelerated this last quarter is the initiatives from the Chinese party, the Communist Party, to really force companies to align themselves more with the party values than with Western capitalism. I think that's the best way to put it right now. And it looks, from our standpoint, it looks random, but from their standpoint, it's really a sequential move to get companies and entrepreneurs to fall into line. But it's not the end of the world. And that's really the important point, is this is the long haul for investing. And we're taking a longer view of this. It's the underperforming sector so far this year is China, and then its weight on the emerging market sector. But we we think that this could be one of the bigger opportunities over the next decade from an investment standpoint, depending on how their regulation is expressed to the rest of the world. But with that, we've got stocks trading at 33 times earnings. And Adam?
Let's keep going up.
So now we head into the fourth quarter, and it's kind of like, all right, what the S&P is up 18%.
Yeah.
And so now what do you do?
Yeah.
So great year. We've had a really good year so far, right?
So far, yeah.
But I'm quick to say that a stop clock is right twice a day. So we were right, which we're not right all the time, but it's been a good year. But we could give it all away if we don't think through what how to position portfolios for the rest of the year now.
And, right.
So what's your thought? How do you approach this?
Well, I mean, you're kind of hit on focused growth is a strategy. We're about to hit a 3-year number, and you know it has an annualized return of 24%, which is great. But really, what's driven that is technology, and you kind of alluded to that at the beginning. Is that tech has worked really well even through COVID, performed mainly because revenues stuck around and actually it benefited a lot of those companies. But yes, when we saw interest rates rise earlier this year, we saw tech sell off relative to the rest of the market, and we've begun to see that start to play out again. So as we look to position it, I mean, obviously, you know, top holdings, Google's up 62%, Microsoft's up 36%, PayPal is up 20%. So a lot of names have worked. But going forward, you know, we have to look at how do these names work in a rising rate environment as well as a slowing growth environment. So one of the names we looked at last week was Nike. And yeah, while that's not a traditional, you know, growth type stock, revenue is up 16% year over year, and they continue to innovate in multiple different ways. They've done a good job with their online sales, plus their in-store sales have actually done fairly well given everything happening in the world. But the stock was down, and they were actually down about 6%.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just a company that looks, from a valuation standpoint, looks fairly attractive, and we do still see quite a bit of growth. So, and it obviously, you know, diversifies away from technology.
What have we done in the healthcare industry?
So far this year, the only thing we've really done is that kind of that pet theme where, you know, obviously more people were getting pets. So we added Elanco and Zoetis.
Zoetis has done really well.
Zoetis really has. So that's up 23% year to date. But outside of that, you know, a true play on, you know, COVID vaccines or anything like that, we have not done yet.
Yep. Well, I went out looking for testing kits. So there's a shortage of testing kits, and you know who makes the testing kits? Abbott Labs.
Ah.
So I was kind of like intrigued. It's like, all right. So we really haven't played the COVID vaccine piece of it.
Not directly.
The support around that, there's a number of different companies that make testing kits, but
yeah,
I did find them finally.
But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when we look at the fact that whether booster shots are appropriate for all ages is kind of being brought up more and more. So you could see a resurgence in just any players in the vaccine space going forward, because I think this is just going to be something that we're going to continue to have to adapt to. And those vaccine makers are going to have to adapt their vaccine. So I think that's a consistent revenue stream. But we talked about Pfizer a couple of weeks ago, and the fact that despite the fact that they, you know, the vaccine has been a big driver, they do have a strong pipeline. So something we want to look at there. And then last week, outside of, you know, growth stocks, Costco released earnings, and they looked really, really strong. So revenue was up 17% year over year. Their membership fees were actually 37% higher than the previous quarter. Stock was up 3%. That's a stock that's up 24% year to date. You know, we're talking about, you know, what should be a stodgy staple type stock is really performing very well, outperforming the S&P 500. So that's a stock that's worked in our large cap blend. But the same thing is, as we see supply chains begin to kind of get a go back into a kind of a locked up period, that's going to weigh on Costco, Nike, Walmart. And I know that was something we brought up was, you know, if Costco is having these issues, who right. else is? So that's something we need to look at. I don't know about you, but when I go into stores, I'm finding it harder and harder to find just
oh my gosh
basic things.
Yeah,
again,
it is stunning how weak the inventory is. Mm-hmm. So load up on toilet paper.
Right. And then in our dividend growth last week, one of the changes we made was that we added Corning. So this is the glass maker that make a lot of the glass for iPhones and other type of devices. And really that was a play on, it's an underperforming stock, valuation looked better. And we sold Applied Materials, which makes microchips, which had outperformed, does not pay as much of a dividend. So yeah. That was kind of an income play. So we are making some shifts, but I think as we go into the back half of the year across the portfolios, and you look at how we can get defense.
Well, in the what's weighing on me, this is setting it up for 2022 is when you look at the big five, right? So the top five stocks in the S&P 500 represent what? Now in market value.
Almost 25% now.
25%. So that's Google, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at Tesla, and I'm just worried about slowing growth. So we look at Apple, and even though Apple's got a new product line, and Amazon, you look at performance this year, it's not what we've seen over the last 5 years. So we're seeing slower price movement in these stocks. So that moves sideways. That starts to weigh on the S&P 500 when you look at year-over-year comparisons. And it's just the reality. We can't keep growing at these rates. So I just am worried that we've got a loss of that momentum is going to actually impede the S&P 500. And I'd like to make sure that our portfolios express kind of our belief in that. And that especially in Apple, we've had a lot of discussion around what's the right size of Apple.
Right.
And they've got some headwinds, I think, this next year. So
I mean, especially like I said, Apple and Tesla, companies that are, their growth is based on China and being able to really sell a product there. And I think, you know, we got to look out for the fact that China is just consistently coming out with new regulations. Now, last week was just cryptocurrency. So, you know, what's next is, you know, trying to push out American companies.
Well, and then Europe also is pushing for a standardized charging port.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, Apple's pushing back. It says that suppresses innovation. Right. Well, they've got a proprietary port, which, by the way, is not working in my iPhone 5. So the other interesting thing is that Microsoft announced, a $60 billion stock buyback?
Right.
Its largest in history. And the stock's trading at all-time highs.
Yep.
But it's only 33 times earnings. So it's trading in a market.
Yeah, it's not necessarily rich.
But I think we're going to see more of this too, is that the cash flow machines that some of these companies are, is they'll build this war chest. They're just going to continue to buy back their stock. Hey, I want to also raise this one issue. There's a really important article in the Wall Street Journal on last Wednesday on the insurance industry. And it touches on the, what's going on in the capital markets is private equity firms accessing capital through the debt markets. So they're changing the structure that their business models are shifting to be able to create debt instruments, both in companies and in funds to be able to invest and raise capital. And it's been a growing part of the capital markets over the last 10 years. And it's significantly bigger than the banking system today. But it's an important article because there's not a lot written about this and about the risks that are in the markets because of this type of structuring. So something that it's on our radar, but you know, when we look at how risks are mutating in the market, it's easy to see what's expressed in terms of earnings and China and things like that. This is something that hasn't really been written about significantly and deserves some narrative around it.
Yep.
What else is on your plate?
I mean, he kind of hit on it with rates rising in the fixed income world. You saw spreads compress a little bit, but overall on the credit side, things still look a little bit tight. New issuance was moderate last week, but concessions remain to be close to zero. So you're really not seeing much really work on the break. So in the fixed income world, despite higher rates, we're not really seeing, you know, a lot of great ideas just popping up.
that's always a sign in the market, yeah. Right? And then when we do start to see the market dislocate, like it was down 2% last week, mm-hmm. and the recovery was just so quick.
Right.
So there isn't this opportunity to really sift through things, you know, right. As these markets recover. So, well, with that, Adam, thanks. Thank you for your comments. Amy, thank you. And for our listeners, we'll talk to you through the week. Thanks for listening.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only. Does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2021, Winthrop Capital Management.